I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen up, you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. Welcome to show 46 of Bart Cop Radio, often heard on BartCop.com on the Bart Cop Radio Network. That's how we're going to start billing ourselves now, just like the pig boy. We're going to invent a network. Hey, it's the Bart Cop Radio Network. Got a good show for you today. We got so much mishmash, we just don't know what to call it. So we're just going to call it show 46. Let's see what we need to get out of the way. Oh, yeah. Run down the checklist. It says shot of... Can't read that. What is... Oh, Chinaco. That's right. Well, oh, boy, that's so good. And it goes so good with the corn. Let me tell you what happened when I went to get corn. When did I go? Today is Friday. This was Thursday. Went to get the corn to walk in. They had a big sign. Corn available, you know. So I walk up and they had four bins. The first bin was candy corn with K's. You know when they misspell it, it's special. In the next bin, they had the current reigning champ, the Silver King. That's the white corn, the extra juicy kind. It also lasts a little longer than the yellow corn. Mysteriously, in the third bin, it said corn. Not sure what the mystery was, but we had the candy corn, we had the Silver King, now we have corn. And in the fourth bin, they had merit corn, which is the usual yellow corn that most bourgeoisie stores stock. So I loaded up, brought them all back, got two of each, put them in the big pile, roasted them just perfect. Oh, it was so nice. We had those little bitty potatoes. You know, I figured out on the potatoes, too. Here's what you do with the potatoes. I like the little red potatoes, you know, them little bitty ones. If you get about 15, 20 of them, all the same size, these little teeny tiny potatoes, all you got to do is cut them in half. And they all are done at the same time. That's the trick. You got to get them all the same size. Then when you cut them in half, boom, they're all perfect. Little cooking tip for you there. So we did that. Got a little fine ground chuck. Threw that out on the grill. Got your burgers, got your corn, got your fine potatoes, got a shot of Chinaco. That's what we do in Oklahoma in the summertime, but it's still not hot. Dear God, please send us some heat in Oklahoma in July, would you please, God? Am I asking too much? Are we farther away from the sun than in previous years, God? It's July, and it hadn't hit 90 yet in Oklahoma, God. Please, can you help me out some? We only got like two more weeks of premium corn season, God. We need a little heat in Oklahoma. Please, can we get a little heat in Oklahoma? Okay, don't the food report. Let's get into business. Boom.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Saw a few things in the paper, thought maybe we'd take a look at. Here's one from the USA Today. What makes the effects of torture linger? Psych damaged when body can neither fight nor flee, scientists say. If Sister Diana Ortiz isn't expecting to smell it, a whiff of tobacco smoke can devastate her. This is a nun we're talking about. She trembles, her hands perspire. Her breathing becomes labored, her stomach churns. Sometimes she even feels a throbbing on her back at the spots where her captors in Guatemala seared her at least 111 times with cigarettes more than 15 years ago. Even talking about it right now makes me go back in time, says Ortiz, 44, a Catholic nun and co-founder of the Washington, D.C.-based Torture, Abolition, and Survivor Support Coalition International. Oh, what the hell does that spell out? T-A-S-S-C-I. Tasky. My body automatically remembers it. It's very difficult to explain. A doctor studying the But doctors studying the physiological effects of such torture are starting to home in on explanations. In the wake of prisoner abuse of detainees in Iraq and Guantanamo Bay, the American Advancement for the Advancement of Science convened a panel Wednesday in Washington on the science of torture. It sought to answer questions about the psychology of how tortures become tortures, George Bush, and what the lasting physical and psychological effects have been. We know what they're very, very hard trying not to mention is that she was tortured by agents for the BFEE. Anybody remember a thing called Iran-Contra? The counterpart of that was this whole Guatemalan, El Salvador, that whole business down there, where the BFEE, with Ronald Reagan's approval, armed these monsters and had them go through the town, raping and killing whoever they wanted to. I wish I knew more about it. They say up to 10,000 were killed, maybe more, maybe 100,000. But it was just pretty much a regular thing to rape a nun down in there, Guatemala, because that's what Reagan and Bush were paying for. They paid for these terror gangs to go through town creating terrorism. That's what the BFEE does. And how nice of the USA Today to not mention who this nun's torturers were. That's very nice. Of course, this is just a couple of weeks after the sainted Ronnie was buried. So obviously they're not going to tell you the facts of Reagan's life and what his policies caused. But that's what that is. Let's get into Michael's movie. Moore is a true patriot for creating an eye-opening film. Went to a sold-out screening of Fahrenheit 9/11 and left the film fighting tears. Michael Moore is a patriot. I can't believe I now think this about a man who I despise since his outrageous Oscar acceptance speech last year. With this film, Moore flicked on a bright light and exposed the transgressions of the White House. As an independent voter, I must ask myself, how could I have voted for George Bush? How could I have allowed myself to be duped into believing that Iraq had anything to do with 9/11 or that it had weapons of mass destruction aimed at our country? How could I have said, go George, when Bush ordered the bombing of Iraq? While Moore may have tweaked a few facts, the overall truths this film exposes are irrefutable and most damning. I thank God I live in a nation where those who engage in freedom of speech and the freedom to dissent are far more superior and patriotic than the Stepford Republicans who blindly and blankly accept everything Bush says and does as gospel, seemingly without thought, memory, or question. They are the same people who condemn the movie without having seen it and who call those who exercise their rights to see it traitors. While I'll have a hard time voting for Kerry simply because he can oust Bush, my conscience tells me I must. Who can argue with that letter to the editor? Here's another one. Dispel dark cloud of doom. While Democrats and so-called independents such as Michael Moore are parading through the great nation, professing and portraying their patriotism by Bush bashing with distortion, lies, deception, and hate speech, of course he does not give any examples, Bush goes on about the business of governing with commitment, optimism, and real patriotism, because it takes a real patriotism to invade a country that wasn't about to attack. While Bush bashers laughed at the celebrated Moore's twisted ending of Fahrenheit 9/11 this past weekend, sovereign power was being formally restored legally, it was not, to the people in Iraq. An agreement was being secured, which means they're looking for one, for NATO to assume a military training role there. Meanwhile, our nation's economy continues to grow during what leading economists are calling optimal conditions for extended... Yeah. That's a lie. It's all a lie. They have to lie to justify the illegal smirk. The shameful use of free speech rights... Oh, how shameful free speech is. By Moore to earn millions of dollars was in this America where the entrepreneur takes a risk while trying to wrongly influence our election does nothing but create pessimism and aid and abet terrorists who hate and are trying to kill us. At the same time, on the economic front, John Kerry continues to portray our current economic prosperity as akin to the Great Depression. Hey, dude, compared right now to 5 years ago, and there's your depression. Come on, America. It's time to wake up and separate the sheep from the goats. Uh-oh. What does this guy have in mind? Don't allow those antagonists to put their dark cloud of doom over a great nation at a time when we should be enjoying prosperity. Yeah, we should be. But the unelected usurper hijacked the election and we got this recession instead. And standing loyal and unified in support of our troops. We support the troops. We just don't think they should be killing innocent people. This is Dave Yeager in Arizona. Yeah, he sounded like an Arizona owner, did he? All right, what else we got? Here's that clip. I ended up putting it on the page. Robert Bianco, USA Today, talking about Fox's North Shore, which ranks as one of the worst cast, worst acted dramas in recent TV history. Pity poor Brooke Burns, who could be drenched by one of the show's Hawaiian waves and still not manage to look wet convincingly. God, that's a horrible thing to say about a lady who can't act. I should say that about Tom Cruise, but he's too popular. Child killer back in New York City. Fuck, I can't talk today. Child killer back in New York City after his prison release. Do you know what's this guy's name? Joel Steinberg. Got out of prison after 17 years. He beat his daughter to death. Obviously a horrible crime. But the jury at the time decided 17 years was the appropriate punishment for that. So he went to prison. He did his 17 years and he got out. But you know what his crime was? They picked him up in a limousine. As if doing the 17 years was nothing. He went through all this just so he could ride in a limousine. Well, some people just have nothing else to write about. Cheney needs to Cheney needs to step aside for good of the Bush. Fuck. Fourth time? It's only got about 10 words. I can't fucking read. Cheney needs to step aside for good of Bush party. An open letter to Vice President Cheney. Dear Mr. Vice President, I'm writing to you as a long... Let's see, who's this from? James Gannon. Never heard of him. I'm writing to you as a longtime admirer ever since you rose to prominence 30 years ago when you became chief of staff to President Ford, and I was a Wall Street Journal reporter covering economic policy in the Ford administration, which was a joke. But the Wall Street whore loves him. You seem to embody the qualities needed at the right hand of the president. Your competence, calmness amid crisis, and absolute devotion to duty were obvious then as now. For nearly 4 years, you've been a loyal and hardworking partner in the presidency of Bush. Your experience, steadiness, and character surely have given the president strength. Well, yeah, he was the president, trust me. In these difficult times, I believe you have always considered first what is best for the president, and only secondly, what is best for Dick Cheney. Yeah, that's the Dick we all know. Putting profits last, putting other people first. Yeah, that's the Cheney we know. That question arises now in this election year. Forgive me for suggesting that self-sacrifice may be the greatest service you can render to President Bush in what promises to be a closely contested election. You must ask yourself now if your continued presence by his side will offer strength or weakness to the Republican ticket in November, and what it will mean for GOP prospects in the future. Nobody knows better than you do that you have become a lightning rod for criticism, rightfully, and a favorite target for your party's political opponents. Fair or not, it's plenty fair. It is simply too easy to paint Dick Cheney as a tool of the oil industry, a too eager advocate of war in Iraq, and a too gullible supporter of the now disgraced Ahmad Chalabi, who fed the Bush administration false intelligence on Iraq. Your former company Halliburton is a political albatross around your neck, weighing down not only you, but also President Bush. Moreover, given your history of health problems, you do not offer the Republicans what they need for 2008 and beyond. A president in training. After November, the party will need to think beyond the presidency of Bush, even if he is reelected. Inaugurating a vice president next year, and you who could step up to lead the party in 2008 would be a great asset for the GOP. As this election approaches, President Bush needs a running mate who supports the war on terrorism as much as you do, but without your political liabilities. He also needs a running mate who might help unify the nation. Your Democratic opponent, Senator John Kerry, made overtures to John McCain, they say, but McCain and Kerry both deny that. So bottom line, I love this kind of talk. Between now and the convention, all us Democrats should rally behind somebody, McCain or Rudy or somebody. Oh, what could be more fun than a civil war, a 60-day civil war between the pro-Cheney and the anti-Cheney Republicans? Oh, that would be just the most fun in the world. Cheney, obviously, is going to cause a whole lot of trouble for Bush, but Bush and Cheney are just as crooked. Cheney is not more crooked than Bush. He's just smarter than Bush. The idea that these billions are going to Halliburton, what in the world are we going to do when they finally give us the bill that has to be paid to Halliburton? Halliburton's going to come out with some bill that's $15 billion over on top of everything they've already gotten. They're going to give us a bill for $15 or $20 or $50 billion, and they're going to probably have to negotiate that down. They have the epitome of a blank check. They have exactly that. They can write whatever amount they want in there and say, well, you have no idea how difficult it was to feed those people in the field. And who's going to be able to step up and say, that's not right. It wasn't that hard to get those hamburgers to the front line. Who can say that? since nobody but the Bush Army is allowed in there. So yes, what fun. We need to step up the screw Cheney talk. Let's get old snarl. Let's get a civil war going in the GOP. What could be more fun? Christmas in July.
Like all good singers do before they sing, well, sometimes they like to warm up. Can you warm up for us? Warm up. Attaboy, Poncho.
Oh, we got a winner here.
Now,
we got a winner.
His first song is from the musical South Pacific, Valley High. Valley High. How about I left my heart in San Francisco.
I.
Just because Johnny likes that one, huh? Okay, I left. No, I left.
Saw something in the paper that was thrilling and scary and daring and fun and deadly and all kinds of things all rolled into one. Would like to tell you about it. Old time readers know that I'm a big, big, big fan, and I don't see how you cannot be, of Robbie Knievel. Everybody knows who Evel Knievel was. Well, Evel is famous for falling off the bike. That's why he's such a icon or a figure or something, because he broke every bone in his body. And he had a habit of getting whatever 200 feet in the air and leaving his bike. And, of course, man cannot fly. And he'd come crashing back to earth and run into a wall. And his bike would run into him. And the ambulance would take him to the hospital. And they'd put steel things in his bones. And they'd, you know, 6 months later, he'd get out. And, oh, I've never done a drug. That's so funny. If you ever heard any Evel Knievel interviews, I've never done a drug. It's like, yeah, right. You broke every bone in your body. You've never done a drug. I've only broken a couple of bones, and I've done lots of drugs. But here's the deal now. Robbie Knievel's Leap of Faith. Robbie Knievel, son of the legendary motorcycle daredevil Evel Knievel, will attempt to jump an array of military aircraft on the deck of the USS Intrepid, which, if I remember right, is docked in New York Harbor. The stunt to air live on TNT July 31st, 7 p.m. my time, 8 p.m. New York time, is part of the cable channel's Knievel Weekend. It premieres an original movie, Evel Knievel, starring the CSI's George Eads, who plays Nick, the cowboy-looking guy, Jamie Presley, who... Have you ever seen a playmate get more legitimate roles than Jamie Presley? That's really surprising. On July 30th, it's way in the back issues. Did you see the one where Robbie Knievel jumped the oncoming train? You talk about spectacular. That's got to be the most exciting 90 seconds of tape that I have, and I've got a lot of tape. I've got more tape than Halliburton has dollar bills. What they did, they set up a ramp, and the ramp was on the railroad tracks, and they timed this to the second. As a matter of fact, old Robbie was a little late, and it was so close. But basically, Robbie got like 100 feet or 100 yards, who knows, back from this ramp. And here comes this train going real slow, like 15, 20 miles an hour, but hey, Robbie's going over 100, and I don't care if the train's going away from him 25 or 50 miles an hour. You run into a train at 100 miles an hour, and a train is mostly made out of balsa wood, as you know. No, the train's made out of cold, hard steel and iron. Robbie and the motorcycle and the train are heading for the same point at the same time. And when Robbie gets about, whatever, 20, 30 feet from the train, he hits that ramp and he goes up into the air. And I've seen the replay 1,000 times. I've even got the still shots somewhere way back in the issues. My guess, 1 second after he left the ramp, the train hits the ramp and turns the entire ramp into splinters. But it was the damn most exciting thing you'll ever see, because he's accelerating as fast as he can into the train. He got a bit of a slow start. As he started, he got a little bit of a skid, and he's thinking, oh, Christ, if I'm a second late, that's I'm a dead man. So there he is, pumping it extra hard, and he's zooming up this ramp 100 miles an hour the second he leaves this ramp. Psh! How'd it go? Psh! It's all splinters. And he landed safely, you know, on the other side. Oh, I just felt like I've seen him do the, that was that hokey one where he said he was going to jump the Grand Canyon, and yeah, he found a little spot that was, well, arguably it was probably 100 or 150-something feet wide. He didn't jump the Grand Canyon. He jumped the corner. But there's that other one. Oh, Jesus, did you ever see the one he did in Las Vegas where he jumped from one roof to another? You know, when you're jumping up in the air like that, little wind, and that's your ass. It's not like you're jumping in a gymnasium where, or whatever, inside some building where you've got a little bit of control. Hell, his dad had a super famous crash at the Astrodome. Robbie prefers to fly with the wind, and it's just scary as hell. My intuition, of which I really have none, but oh, I just don't like the sound of this one. I just don't want to see him die live on TV. You know, it's a broken bones or even a broken back that'll let him heal someday, I can live with. But oh, I don't want to see him die, and I don't want to see him paralyzed, but he's going to do this. I don't know of anybody what's more brave than jumping a motorcycle however many feet, I don't know, 150 feet, I don't know how big or long these jumps are. But he is not kidding, and I'll tell you how you can always tell. When nobody else on the whole planet is doing this, you know it's a pretty specialized son of a bitch. If every kid with a motorcycle was jumping, and Robbie was just another guy, hey, he's just another guy. But nobody, name for me another famous motorcycle jumper, go ahead. You can't, because nobody in their right mind will effing do it. Robbie Knievel's the only one, and he acts like it's no big deal. But anyway, trust me, I'm going to be at a TV the last Saturday of July, and I just hope it goes okay, but he's going to jump a bunch of military aircraft, and I just hope he comes down. Well, I'm sorry, he's coming down. But, oh, this one scares me. They all scare me, but this one scares me more. He hadn't done anything. It's been a couple years since he jumped, as far as I know. But I sure hope things work out. Robbie Knievel, if anyone deserves the title Daredevil, it's Robbie Knievel.
This is not a pansy liberal show. It's Bart Cop Radio.